Good evening and once again welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here on Highland, where we take a look at the big stories in local sport from around the Northwest. I'll be your host, Mark Gallagher, and I will be with you from now until 8 o'clock. So let's have a look at what will be coming up on tonight's show. We'll be hearing from Raphoe native Luke Witherow, who has been selected to play for Ireland in the upcoming Hockey World Cup qualifiers in Chile. We'll hear from ATU Donegal Women's Soccer Manager Breege McGinty and Men's Freshers GAA Manager Ryan McHugh after a hugely successful week for both of those teams. But firstly, we are going to start with our League of Ireland preview for this week. Finn Harps will look to build on last week's impressive 2-1 win over UCD with a trip to Cove Ramblers in the SSE Electricity League First Division tomorrow night. Shawnee Bradley and Connor Turish got the goals in the win over the Students in what was Harps' first home game of the season last week, having been beaten 2-1 by Athlone away in their opening fixture. An 11-hour round trip awaits Kevin McHugh's side this week, but confidence will be high following that win over a highly fancied UCD. In the Premier Division, Derry City play their fourth home game in a row. They host Waterford at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. Much like last season, it's been a bit of a mixed bag of both results and performances from the Candy Stripes so far, as they have taken a win, a draw and a defeat from games against Sligo Rovers, Dundalk and Bohemians respectively. Waterford, meanwhile, are yet to register a league win in 2026. So, to talk all things League of Ireland, I'm happy to once again welcome onto the show a former Finn Harps captain, Declan Boyle. Declan, thanks for joining us. It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Mark.
Just like that, we're back in the thick of another League of Ireland season. We'll get on to Derry City in a moment. Maybe first we'll focus on Finn Harps. A defeat against Athlone on the opening day, but then an impressive enough win over UCD at home last week. What have you made of the opening couple of games from a Finn Harps point of view, Declan?
Yeah, listen, I would say a steady start. Obviously, as you mentioned, losing away to Athlone, I thought the performance wasn't bad away from home. I thought Athlone were quite good on the night and looked dangerous in the attack area, you know. So, but yeah, listen, a big result last weekend. UCD, obviously, a team you fancy will be up near the top of the table, will be in probably the playoff position, and a big result. Two wonderful goals as well by Harps. And I know that obviously UCD came back into the game and scored late on and put a wee bit of pressure on, but Harps held firm on a very heavy pitch. So listen, I suppose it's really important you won your home games and your first home game. You want to make sure you get a good victory, and that's what they've done. And a really good performance. I think they'll play better throughout the season, obviously. But yeah, listen, it's important to get off to a winning start at home.
And UCD are the kind of team that you would think, as you say, will be right up there in the mix for promotion, as they usually are. And maybe it's the kind of win that could get even more impressive with hindsight if UCD do go on and be a strong team in the league.
Yeah, listen, I suppose you don't really know how teams are going to go, but you're correct when you're saying UCD are always up there in the playoffs. They have good quality players. They cherry-pick the best young players coming through the National League into the scholarship program that they have, so they're really talented players. They do lose players as well throughout the season, and definitely come around July they lose their best players all the time, but they keep recruiting good players, which is how they work, and it's what makes them so good. I think they'll have a big say in the league and the playoffs positions, obviously, but yeah, this was important for Harps to, as I said, to get off to a positive start at home. And I know they've got a difficult match now with Cove Ramblers, where results last year weren't good down there, and Cove, we know the quality players have, that's a bigger task than the UCD that they played last week.
Yeah, and you alluded to the goals last week, Shawnee Bradley and Connor Turish. Hopefully there's a bit more quality like that to come at Finn Park throughout the season, and it'll be great for the fans if we can see some more goals like that. They were brilliant, were they?
Yeah, absolutely. Connor Turish, I don't know where he pulled that one from. Wonderful strike. I'm not sure if he scored a better goal throughout his whole season. Yeah, so, and Shawnee Bradley up top obviously was heavily involved in that goal, and obviously scored one as well, which is good for him, because he's under, you know, there's players coming in there now, they're putting him under with better pressure. So it's good to see the young lads getting the opportunity, and then when they get the opportunity, they must take it. And what you would have to say is Shawnee Bradley's performance last week was very good, up top, and you know, he can play well and not score, but he was involved in two goals, so you know, a very good performance by him. So you know, hopefully we'll see the best of him this season.
So looking ahead of this week, always a tough trip down to Cove, but Harps will go down with confidence following that win last week. What kind of game are you expecting?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think that our results down there haven't been great. Obviously it's on an AstroTurf facility. You know, it will be a good surface. So it's really important that you start off well. I think What we have done a lot down in COVID is we conceded goals early enough, and that obviously sets us back a wee bit. Away from home is really important. You set up your stall, be defensively good, defend well for the first 15, 20 minutes of the game, and stay in the game as long as possible, you know, and hopefully then you might nick one or get one up top to ease the pressure a wee bit. But, you know, they've got really good players. Like, you know, I'm just looking at the players you're saying. Gary Buckley from Galway United was a Sligo Rovers, an excellent player. Wilson Aguero played up top last year for Sligo Rovers, you know. So they're signing Premier Division players that are playing in the First Division, you know. Shane Griffin's still there. They signed also Dylan McGlade as well. So they've really, really good players, along with the players that they had last year. I know they lost Barry Coffey, who scored a lot of goals last year for them, so he is a big loss to them. But, you know, they've got real quality. And if you let them play, they will cause you a real problem. So it's really important that that Finn Harps play well, start well, and obviously, you know, grow into the game, and hopefully maybe nick one. And you know, you never know. On a day, you make a draw at least, you know, but it's a big ask, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they can get something, even a point from Cove, I think it'd be safe to say that after a tough enough opening few games on paper, that would be seen as a fairly positive start with a couple of home games to come next. So a point wouldn't be the worst result down there.
No, absolutely. I would agree with you. I think if Kevin could get someone give him a draw, and I would take it, you know, so it's definitely one of those ones. But you just never know how the game's going to pan out. But you know you're going to be under pressure down there. So as I said earlier, you're going to have to defend well, and your front players are going to have to be very good in transition to cause them problems, to push them back when you are under a bit of pressure. But they're well capable of going down there and playing a big performance, you know. So this, you mentioned about the confidence from last week. You know, they'll gain confidence from that. They'll go down there and really good, you know, form. I know it's a long trip, fair enough, but there's nothing better to go down there and pick up a point and go back up that road happy. And you mentioned it will come down to, you know, how good Finn Harps are at home, and can they get the results at home. And they're the ones that will tell you how successful your season is going to be or not.
Yeah, elsewhere in the First Division tomorrow night, Cork City at home to Bray, Athlone host Wexford, Longford go to Kerry, and UCD are at home to Treaty United. A lot is made of how tight that First Division is, but it really is something else, Declan. There's not too many clear winners you could pick out of all those games at all.
No, that's it. The form's been up and down a wee bit, but obviously Cork, we fancy Cork to be probably the winners. You look at their overall budget, the quality of players. They haven't lost too many players that played in the Premier League last year. They got to the FAI Cup final as well, you know. So, you know, they've got real quality players. So, and the strike force that they have as well, up top, they've got goals in abundance. You know, so Rory Keaton's back there, is back as well. So he's going to score a lot of goals up there. You know, so they have real good players. You know, you fancy them to be up there. But yeah, listen, you know, form's out the window. Bray have recruited really well. They've probably got the best young squad of players in the country, you know, on an Astor facility, so they're fit and energetic, and they've got real talented players with them. So, you know, they're going to be up there, thereabouts. You know, we mentioned UCD will be up there, obviously Cove as well will be up there. So it's very, very tight, a lot of good teams, you know, and, you know, Wexford are capable of pulling out big results as well. So, that, you know, in any given day, if you're 10% off the form, you should be in, or, you know, you could lose, you know, and that's how close everything is. But you've got to be playing at a high level and high performance every single week in order to get 3 points or get a result away from home.
Let's move on to the Premier Division. Derry City have their fourth home game in a row. They welcome Waterford to the Brandywell. A win, a draw and a defeat so far for Derry. Declan, is it the kind of start you expected from the County Stripes?
No, I probably didn't. I probably expected, you know, to maybe have, you know, 3-1s potentially out of four, you know. So, you know, you're expecting them at home, 4 games at home. It's a great opportunity to put out a marker to the rest of the league and to Shamrock Rovers. You know, you won your home games and you're sitting, you know, with 12 points. Like, but it's been a wee bit stuttering. You know, they've struggled a wee bit in games. Obviously, last week they lost to Bowes, but I've seen Bowes playing against Sligo Rovers, and Bowes are a really good team. And they've been excellent so far this season. Sam Todd obviously left there, so he's been very influential, and set himself and Pat Hickey, who have played really well in the centre half positions. But for Derry at the minute, there's a lot of new players coming in. They're just finding their feet. Some players are probably playing out of position and not sure if Tiernan knows his best starting 11 yet, and that will come with time, you know. So Obviously, they signed Barry Cotter as well from Barnsley this week to fill that right full area, and they've tried other players in that position, so he will hopefully give them a bit more balance. There was Shamrock Rovers and Sapats previously in the League of Ireland, so he knows the League of Ireland, so he will be a really good addition to them. As I said, you know, it takes time. You've signed a lot of players, they have quality, but what they need to do is they need to make sure when they play and brandy whether they won every single game if possible, you know. So, but yeah, listen, I suppose the performances haven't been bad, but you know, if they can get 3 points against Waterford at home, which I think they will. I watched Sligo and Waterford last week, or Waterford were probably better than Sligo, but I thought that, you know, they lacked a little bit of punch up top, so it'll be interesting to see how they play. But I expect Derry City to get 3 points for the weekend, and that'll probably make a big difference to them in regards to the table and points and a bit more confidence as well. But going into away fixtures coming up.
Yeah, I remember in our League of Ireland preview show before a ball was kicked, you referenced Derry and all the new signings they'd made. And even though you did fancy them to do well, you said if you look at the likes of Liverpool in the Premier League this season, it can take a bit of time for signings to gel together, and it's not a guarantee they do at all. Maybe there's a wee bit of an element of that so far with Derry City too.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I definitely think so. Your players coming back as well from England, and you know, and obviously the hype with McLean coming back as well. There are two McLeans coming back in, you know, so that sort of stuff, and it kind of plays up a wee bit and motivates other teams as well to go into to Derry. But yeah, listen, it's just takes time to bed them all in. And as I said earlier, I don't think there's been players been playing out of position, and I don't think that Tiernan has played as strong as position, and there are played the players in the right positions yet, you know. So there's a wee bit of moving players around, and it's just not gelling the way it should be, probably, but that will take time. I'm expecting that to improve over the next throughout the next this season, obviously, you know. So, but yeah, listen, if he can get 3 points at home against Waterford, that'll paper over a lot of other cracks of last week. But by all accounts, I didn't see it, but it was well worthy of 3 points against Derry last week. So they'll be looking to rectify that and get 3 points against Waterford.
Yeah, just looking to the other Premier Division games, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers, I suppose, is the standout tie of the week, I think. A tricky enough one for the champions against a Bohs team, as you said, that have made a really, really good start.
Yeah, Bohs have been excellent, really, really good. I mentioned just about Sam Todd and Pat Hickey. Pat Hickey obviously signed from Galway. It was a 10 for Galway. Now he's playing centre half, and he's been excellent, really, really good. And they formed a really good partnership, himself and Sam Todd, two centre halves. Big, aggressive, good on the ball as well. Dawson Devoy has been probably the best midfielder on show at the minute. He was just superb in the showgrounds 2 weeks ago. And Colin Whelan and Douglas James Taylor up top have been excellent as well. So they're really, really good players working their socks off. Alan Reynolds has really hit the ground running with them. So I expect a big performance by Bohs. Will they beat Shams? You never know. It's a Dublin derby, and these games can go either way. Shamrock Rovers, obviously, you know, had two games. Through with Dundalk, obviously, a last minute winner, a draw, equalizer, should I say, for Dundalk, and not be happy. Shams will not be happy about that, you know. So, but we know the quality of players that Shamrock Rovers have, you know, signed obviously Andy Stevens, Jake Mulroney as well. He's been excellent for Sapats during the last couple of seasons. Adam Brennan, who signed as well from UCD, and he scored against Sapats and assisted against Sapats, a young lad. So he's up and coming. And Jack Byrne, obviously, if they can keep Jack Byrne fit. And throughout the whole season, we know what he can do, just keeping him fit, obviously. You know, Michael Noonan up top as well, Rory Gaffney. You know, so they've just got really, really good players. And, you know, that'll be a tight, tight game. You just don't know which way that one go. But, you know, and the form, current form of Bohs, I wouldn't be surprised if Bohs need 3 points against Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, St Patrick's Athletic play Dundalk, Drogheda United host Shelburne, and it's the Connacht Derby between Galway United and Sligo Rovers at Damon Dacey Park. Neither Galway or Sligo have made the greatest of starts, so that is already a big enough game between those two, Declan.
Yeah, it is. Probably thinking, you know, you're looking at Dundalk obviously coming up, have done really well, you know, so far with 3 points and three draws, so they've been consistent enough. You know, you're looking at teams down that end, Waterford, Galway, Sligo would probably be down near that area of fighting relegation and the playoff position. So yeah, listen, a big, big game, as you've seen, the Connacht Derby and Galway at home. Galway have done okay. They've lost, obviously, 1-0 to Drogheda. They had a penalty they missed just before, and Drogheda scored later on. And they've won each with Shelburne away, which is a good result for them. So, and they've also signed a striker, Franz Pierrot, as well. So he will add goals, power, and strength into that area as well. So he's a really good signing, having previously played for Drogheda United up top. So he's a good acquisition for John Caulfield. So there will be a threat going forward for sure. Listen, these games normally there's not much between them. They always end up probably 1-1 draw or a 1-0 victory for one of them. So John Russell, obviously, listen, got a point last week away to Waterford. Performance was just okay. Obviously lost 2-1 to Derry City. And were well convincingly beaten by Bowes at home. They haven't hit the ground running. So this is a big, big week for John Russell and his team. They'll obviously be looking to try to get 3 points out of this one as well. They've made a couple of acquisitions. James McManus, who was there last year, he signed on loan from Bowes for the season. So he's done well last year for them. And Sean McHale, who's left side centre back, come in there as well. So they signed two signings just before the transfer window closed. So you'll have to see will they start or not. Listen, these games are always close. Not much between them. Sligo would like to play, through the thirds, go a bit more defensive, sit in a wee bit deeper and hit you in the transition and cause you problems. So these games that don't get too many goals and they'll be very, very tight. So it could be a 1-1 draw or a 1-0 victory for either team.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looking ahead to the weekend's League of Ireland games. Up north, tomorrow night, Limavady United are in action in the Irish League Championship against Dundella. Limavady United sitting top of the table. And then on Saturday, Institute are 8th. They play bottom side Armagh City. Locally, there's plenty of action in the Donegal Junior Leagues this weekend. There's one fixture down for decision in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division on Saturday evening at 4 o'clock. Kilmacrenan and Celtic are at home to Fannin United. And then on Sunday, there are three games in that division. Bunnaggy United, who are second behind Letterkenny Rovers, they are away to Donegal Town. Second from bottom, Glenny United host Kildrum Tigers. And bottom side, St Catharines host KG Rovers. One standout game in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. It is first against third as Kerry Keel go to third place Castlefin Celtic. And there's also a first v third clash in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Top of the table, Raphoe Town play at Cranford at home. On Saturday in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1, Kildrum Tigers are top of the table. They're away to Kilmacrenan and Celtic, among other games. And the standout game in the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, top of the table, KG Rovers face second place Fintown Harps. In the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, Laggan Harps are the front runners. They are at home to Drumkeen United. In Inishowen, Cockhill Celtic are at home to Cairn in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. And Broncrana Hearts, who are currently fourth, last year champions, there away to Kildaff. That game actually gets underway at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And the Father O'Gara Cup, Cockhill Reserves are at home to Glengad United. And there are also plenty of fixtures in the Division 1, Division 2 and Division 2B in Inishowen. Well, it's been a brilliant week for sport at ATU Donegal. On Tuesday, the women's soccer team booked their spot in the final of the O'Regan Cup thanks to an 8-0 win over TUS Midwest in Sligo. And last night, the men's GAA Freshers team beat SETU Carlo in the Freshers Championship 2 final 217-1-3 in Darver. We're going to hear from Freshers manager Ryan McHugh shortly, but let's begin with the women's success. They're still on course to defend their O'Regan Cup title after that big semi-final win on Tuesday. And I'm happy to say, joining us on the show this evening is team manager Breed McGinty. Breed, thanks very much for speaking to us and congratulations on Tuesday's win. It's great to have another final to look forward to.
Yeah, it's great for the girls to be back-to-back finals and it just tops off the season that they have after winning the league earlier this year. So it just shows the progression that's within the squad. Like, it's great.
We'll look ahead to the final in just a second, but maybe we'll go back to Tuesday's game against TUS Midwest. An 8-0 semi-final win, not often you see that, emphatic to say the least. Your side were just too strong by all accounts.
The first half was more tight. It was only 2-0 at half time. They set up to play, leave us wide in the wide areas, but the girls kept going centrally, so at half time we spoke about trying to play out wide and then getting a ball in central so that we could shift their team across, and that worked. So, it was great that we were able to extend the lead in the second half, but definitely in the first half, they put it up to us because they were quick on the break, and also the defenders did really well. Claire and Ness did well. So thankfully it was 2-0 at half time, and then we pushed on in the second half.
And the goals scored by the Lochry sisters, Jody and Kerry, they got two each. Caitlin Doherty also got a brace, and Caitlin Fletcher and Elle Long also getting on the score sheet. It must be very satisfying for you as a manager to have goal threats coming from all over the pitch.
Yeah, like all my attacking top five are excellent. Ellie Long, the two Lochrys, as you said, Caitlin Fletcher, Cody Walsh was unlucky on two or three occasions. Aaron Doherty, central midfielder, long range shot was unlucky. But like they're all capable of scoring in any game and have in the past games. So it'll be good. We'll talk about the final, but it's good to have people that can't just focus on one or two players. They have to look at the whole squad.
For sure. So let's get on to that final, through to the last two as defending champions. So there'll be a scalp in your back. Who will you face in that final now then, Bridge?
We're playing MTU Cork. We played them in the semi-final league, and it was a very tight game. We were 2-0 up. They came back to equalise, and in the last, I think, last 3 minutes of the game, we got the lucky goal to, they are a good set up. They're well structured. They have good players in it. They've taken players from Cork. In your women's team, they have ones from Wexford down with them. So they are a strong, strong squad.
And so, do we have a date and venue for that game yet?
All I know, it's the week beginning the 9th of March. So it could be the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We haven't got time or date or venue yet.
Okay, so you have a wee bit of time to get back on the training pitch then?
Yeah, we know roughly we have next week on training, and then the following week's the game, so we'll see what it brings.
Great stuff. Full steam ahead now to the final. There'll be a bit of a buzz around the place, no doubt. It'll be a great couple of weeks around the college.
Yeah, no, the girls are really excited for it. Yes, they were in the final last year, which was a new experience for them. And this year they can actually go and enjoy. Hopefully the nerves won't be as bad, and they can enjoy the lead up to it and actually enjoy the final.
Very good, Bridge. Well, we'll be keeping a close eye on here in Highland as always. The very best of luck in that final, and we'll be talking to you again very soon, okay?
Right, thanks very much.
That is ATU Donegal Women's Soccer Team Manager Breeze McGinty looking ahead to that O'Regan Cup final. It is time for a short break here on the programme. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to ATU Donegal Freshers Manager Ryan McHugh after their final victory last night. Stay tuned. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, as I told you before the break, ATU Donegal won the Higher Education Gaelic Football Freshers Championship 2 title last night. In yesterday's final played in Darver and County Louth, ATU beat SETU Carlo comfortably by 217-1-3. ATU, who have county players Ryan McHugh and Pater Mogan as part of their management, led 2-11 to just 2 points at half time. Danny Brown and Owen Ban McNeilis scored the goals in the opening half. Well, to look back on last night's final, our own Oisin Kelly has been getting the thoughts of one half of the management team, Donegal player Ryan McHugh.
So Ryan, looking back at yesterday's victory in the Freshers Championship, probably no doubt to say it was your best performance of the year, and it was timely to come in a final.
Yeah, 100%, Oisin. You know, to be fair to the lads, they played great. As you touched on, it probably was our best performance all year, especially the first half. You know, I thought the way they defended as a unit was unbelievable. You know, and then they attacked well as well, obviously putting up 211. You know, and we're actually playing into the wee breeze the first half. But no, they really got together and played extremely well, and they seen it off. I'd seen it out, I should say, and done it off the second half. You know, so it's been a great year. You know, we obviously won the league and won the championship now. So it's been a great year for the Freshers and ATU, and hopefully they can build on that next year, going into senior football and build on it.
Yeah, were you missing many bodies yesterday, Ryan? Are we at full strength, or what was the panel
No,
like?
we were missing a few as well. You know, with so many games, you know, to be fair, I didn't really even understand myself until I got involved how many actual games these young lads have. But we were missing Max Campbell, who's obviously up with the seniors, was out. He's picked up Weenock and Aaron Neely, who's with under-20s. Seamus Dugan with under-20s, and Dylan Mulholland with under-20s as well, all in Donegal. So we're missing all of them as well. So we did actually have a very strong squad this year, you know, even though quality of player that we were missing, we were still able to put in some top performances, which is great to see.
Danny Brown and Owen Van McNeillis getting the goals yesterday. They came in the first half, and I suppose they were timely in the match and really put Carlo on the back foot then, so it did, Ryan.
They were, you know, they did. Yeah, yes. I don't think you can ever score a goal at a bad time, but the goals definitely did come at a great time in the game, you know. So as I said, we're playing into a wee bit of a breeze, and we done enough then the second half. But the goals came at a great time. But they were great moves, you know. It's a pity there was no cameras running at it, because there was some great football played, you know. The game was actually played on a 3G pitch, so it was, and that just allowed for a very fast game of football, which actually suited our lads, you know. So the goals were great moves, and you know, I suppose when the second one ended, probably did finish the game.
A good spread of scores yesterday, but you've had a good spread of scores throughout the league. But I suppose two men that were prominent throughout the championship and league rather with doing the score. Danny Brown and Shane Callan to the fore in the scoring front yesterday once again, as they have been throughout the year for you, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, listen, they're great lads, first and foremost, Oshie, you know, but they are great footballers, you know, and I know from a selfish point of view, being from Donegal, you know, it's great to see, even though we do have players from other parts of the country involved in the fresher team. It's great to see from a Donegal point of view, two young lads that's currently involved in the under 20s as well, you know. So we'll be looking out for them for the under 20s as well. But no, they've been great all throughout the year, you know. So they have, and it's just something I would like to touch on as well, even when I am here, you know, is Gary Boyle and even Jim, who's, you know, we had a couple of senior boys involved as well. They've been extremely good to me. So they have, in terms of releasing players and allowing players to play, whenever we had games, they always allowed the players to play, which doesn't happen in other counties, you know. So to be fair to the Donegal managers, they were great and allowed the players to play all the time. So football's good in Donegal at the minute, you know, and ATU and different sort of stuff, they've been going well. So we're taking through a lot of good players, so long may that last.
Yeah. Listen, just moving away and looking ahead to this weekend, obviously Galway providing the opposition in round five of the National Football League for Donegal, Ryan. Listen, Galway are in bad need of points, so they're going to prove to be a stern old test at the weekend, so there.
It will be, Oisín. You know, listen, it's a cliche, but there's no easy games in Division One, so there's not. You know, thankfully we've had a great start. So we've had, you know, like every match we've played, there's pros and cons of everything, you know. But thankfully we've got maximum points on the board and are in a good position. So we are. But no, Galway are I don't want to say fighting for their lives, because there's still obviously a couple of games left. But they are in need of points, so they are. So they're going to come up to Ballyshannon and obviously put their best foot forward. But again, it's a match that we're going to really look forward to. Getting to play the best teams in the country, that's where you want to be as a player. So it is, Oisín, you know, and we're getting the opportunity to do that at the minute, is to play against the best teams in the country, and we've another chance to do that this weekend against Galway.
Yeah, looking to make it 5 from 5 and win all your 3 home games. I'm sure at the start of the year the target, Ryan, would have been to win your home games and then take it from there, but Donegal find themselves in a very, very healthy position. What's that down to, do you think, this year, Ryan?
Listen, it's hard to put your finger on one thing, Oisín. You know, to be fair, we've trained well, so we have all over pre-season and the start of the league, and we've got ourselves into good shape, so we have, Oisín, you know. And listen, it's a cliche, but we just take it one game at a time, you know. We try not to look ahead, so we don't. Obviously, at the start of the year, the first goal is to stay in the division. I'm not 100% sure if it's mathematically done yet, but we're in a good position definitely to stay in the league. We're looking up the table more than looking down, which is what we always wanted, but we're just taking it week by week, you know. It's really hectic, so it is, you know. It's an unbelievable competition, the league, so it is not just Division 1, all the divisions, you know. I know Mark, my brother's involved with Westmeath, and I've been looking out to that. Division 3 itself is hugely competitive, and so is Division 2 and 4, so it's an unbelievable competition. It's a pity the weather just wouldn't be a wee bit better for it, but that's the time of the year, you know. So we just take it week by week. As I said, we're extremely fortunate that we've got the chance to play the top teams in Ireland and the top players in Ireland, so it's going good at the minute, Oisín, but still a long year ahead, hopefully.
Yeah. And in the McHugh House, there's an O'Byrne Cup has come back. But Ryan, you have a league and a championship now as well, so you do.
I do. It's been a good start to the year in the O'Byrne Cup. We still have a wee bit to catch Dad yet, Oisín, but we'll hopefully get there when we retire.
Listen, Ryan, thanks for talking to us. And I suppose twofold, well done on yesterday. Congratulations on getting the Freshers Championship. And also, of course, best of luck against Galway at the weekend.
No problem. Oisín, thank you very much.
That is our own Oisin Kelly speaking to Ryan McHugh to look back on that Freshers final last night, which ATU Donegal won. And of course, look ahead to this weekend's clash between Donegal and Galway in the National Football League Division 1. We'll have live coverage of that game with Oisin Kelly and Brendan Devaney from Ballyshannon. Throw-in is at 1:15 on Sunday. At the same time, in Division 1, Kerry play Monaghan, Mayo take on Armagh, and Dublin, who are in badly need of points, they are away to Roscommon. In Division 2 on Sunday, Derry, who've played 4 and won 3 of their games in Division 2, they are at home to high-flying Cork, who have been flawless out of 4 games so far in that division. Also action on Saturday in the National Football League's one game of note in Division 2, Tyrone, who have only won 1 out of their first 4 games. They play bottom side Offaly, who suffered that heavy defeat to Derry last time. And that game is at 6 o'clock in Dungannon on Saturday evening. Looking ahead to the hurling action this weekend in the Hurling League Division 3, Donegal, who have won all 3 of their games against Tyrone, Fermanagh and Armagh so far. Mickey McCann's side are away to Louth this weekend. A game is in Darver at 2 o'clock on Sunday. The Derry and Tyrone hurlers are also out this weekend. Derry are in action against London at 1 o'clock on Saturday at Celtic Park. That game is in Division 2, while in Division 3, Tyrone go away to Dr. Hyde Park to take on Roscommon. That game is at 2:30 on Saturday. The Donegal ladies are also back out this weekend after that defeat to Cavan last time out. Still looking good though. They've played 4, won 3 with just that defeat to Cavan last week. They are sitting second on the table, and this Sunday they take on Mayo, who are currently just behind them in third spot in the table. Also on Sunday in Division 2, Tyrone take on Wexford, and in Division 4 it is Derry up against Leitrim. Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney spoke with former Armagh player Aaron Kiernan and Highland Match pundit Brendan Kilcoyne to review Donegal's win over Armagh last weekend. That is on this week's DL Debate, which you can listen back to over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com, or now also on the Radio Player app. Now to switch focus to hockey, Raphoe native Luke Witherow will represent Ireland at the upcoming FIH Hockey World Cup qualifiers in Santiago in Chile. The Banbridge fullback has been selected as part of Mark Tumulty's 20-man squad that will face Group B fixtures against Canada, Korea and Poland on March 1st, 3rd and 4th respectively, in a bid to reach a first World Cup since 2018. To qualify, Ireland will need to achieve a top 3 finish overall and could come up against France, Wales, Scotland or Chile should they progress out of the pool. A semi-final win or a win in the 3rd or 4th place playoff match would earn Tumulty's side a spot at the FIH Hockey World Cup in Belgium and the Netherlands in August. Witherow is just the second Donegal man to represent Ireland at full international hockey level after James Corrie. The Raphoe man is already in Santiago along with the rest of the squad as they acclimatise to the heat ahead of next week's matches. He took time out of his busy schedule this week to speak to Highland's Chris Ashmore.
Luke, many thanks for joining us. Not too often. In fact, I'm not even sure if it's the first time ever we've had somebody on the programme speaking to us from Chile. You're over there, part of the Irish hockey squad for the World Cup qualifiers. And first of all, maybe just to update us on the weather, a bit of a contrast to what we've been used to at home here.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's about 32 degrees here and sun is shining. So bit different to the month of rain we had before we came out here. But yeah, tough to play in. But we've had 2 warm-up games in the evenings there that are about 24, 25 degrees, so that's not so bad. But our first game's middle of the day, and it's going to be probably 30 in temperature, and I'm not sure what the temperature will be down on the pitch, but I know it'll be warm.
Now, you're part of the squad for these World Cup qualifiers. It's taking place in the city of Santiago in Chile. And the Irish, well, the last time I looked in the world rankings, I think at the end of last year, we were 11th, so there are high hopes that you can qualify for the World Cup. And indeed, your head coach, Mark Tumulty, has certainly said that he says he knows it won't be an easy task, but we're ready for the challenge. So tell us about the games that are coming up. You're in Pool B and Canada are first.
Yeah, so we play Canada on Sunday. That's the first game of 3. We then have Korea in our group and we have Poland to finish off. Canada are a wee bit of an unknown, but from the games that we've watched and analysed, they seem to be a very tricky opponent and sort of thrive in a bit of chaos. So it's just our job on Sunday, I suppose, to play our game to the standard that we know we can, especially with the ball, and try and eliminate that sort of chaos for them, something that they're going to thrive in, and just really control the game. There's going to be no easy games in our group, as all three of our opponents have had wins over us in the last couple of years. So, yeah, like we, Canada and Korea have stopped our, us, the Irish men's, from going to the Olympics each. So we've got a bone to pick with both of them. So it's gonna be a good group. Hopefully we can get through. It's not going to be easy now. They're all going to face different challenges and different playing styles. So yeah, it'll be good. We'll prep. We've prepared well, and all our practice games are finished. We've had 9 warm-up games, so we're ready to go. I think it's just now fine-tuning for Sunday.
And I think I'm right in saying Ireland need to achieve a top three finish in this competition to secure your place in the World Cup. What would it mean to you personally to get to the World Cup finals?
Yeah, me. Yeah, top three would see us go through, which is great. Just need to make it out of the group and then hopefully win our semi-final to get into that top two would be nicer than a top three. But I suppose personally, it'd be nice to be involved in a team that qualifies for a major tournament. It's not just, I suppose, being from Donegal and playing for a foe, I never really expected to, always wanted to get a cap and to be so close to 50 caps and to be in a part of a big major tournament would be amazing. Obviously when you're here you're not guaranteed to go to the actual tournament if we do qualify, so it just resets the whole selection process and just have to work very hard. So I'm not someone who looks too far ahead. Over the years with having missed out on Olympic Games and stuff like that, I just stay focused on sort of the task at hand and don't look too far ahead, because you never know what's around the corner. But I'm definitely motivated to try and be a part of that if we do happen to qualify, and just do my bit here today or this week to make sure that we do go and we go to that major tournament, because we've been out of it for so long. So yeah, it'd be nice personally to be a part of that.
Now, you mentioned there you started with Rafoe. Also, I believe you did a bit of show jumping when you were younger. You also played Gaelic football with St. Mary's in Convoy and a bit of soccer with Convoy Arsenal. But I suppose from a relatively early age, hockey was always going to be the big one.
You know what? I suppose with my granda being so heavily involved in Gaelic football, I was a big fan of Gaelic football and was good at it too. I loved playing it and loved the club in Convoy. Like, it's a great club and great facilities and everyone's so friendly. And I suppose with the show jumping too, is obviously everyone in rural Ireland has maybe a grandparent that loved horses, and we got involved in that way too. And we travelled Ireland with a pile of show jumping ponies, and then always just played hockey through my dad with Rafoe. And it got to a stage maybe whether to choose one of the three. And I just thought, well, I can see more of the world maybe playing hockey to a higher standard than I could if I was maybe playing Gaelic or something like that. So hockey also helps with the job line I'm down. I'm a PE teacher, so there's a lot of schools in Northern Ireland, and I'm head of hockey in one of them schools. So that's sort of the way it worked. But yeah, I loved all three sports, and we'll definitely be going back to the Gaelic football once I'm retired from hockey. But yeah, I'm a big fan of all three, and obviously can't do both. I can't do all three at a high level, so I had to choose one just, and that's kind of the way it went.
Well, the only other Donegal player to represent Ireland at full international level is James Corry. So big footsteps to follow in, and proud to be a Donegal man. You're playing, well, you've played most of your hockey in recent years with Banbridge. So just remind us, I mean, they are one of the top clubs in Ireland. You've played Euro Hockey League with them, and indeed they've finished in the last couple of seasons 13th overall. So that shows just sort of how high a standard they're at.
Yeah, so like whenever I was growing up, I remember watching James and a lot of Rafoe players sort of playing, and I remember pestering my dad to bring me to nearly every game on a Saturday if I could, and was raging whenever he didn't bring me. But yeah, and then left for uni and went to Belfast for university. So I moved to Banbridge here just outside Belfast, and started my 8th year there now. And the first couple of years, we didn't really see much success. We're in a real rebuilding phase. But now, like, I'm 27 and I'm the 4th oldest maybe in the squad. And we're in an exciting time. We've had a really successful last 3 or 4 years where we've won everything multiple times. And in Ireland, and we've went to like the Champions League of hockey, I suppose the AHL, and we've had some tough draws. We've drawn three of the best teams in Europe, and ran a couple of them close and one of them not so close, but we're getting results then in the second games against teams that, well, it's a 50-50 and we're beating them, so it's exciting. Hopefully we can keep going and keep getting back to that tournament, because we're due a better draw to really push on and see how far we can get into that knockout stage. But yeah, we're really exciting. It's coming up now, sort of 4 years where we're kind of cashing in on everyone's ability, and we're so young and so fit and very athletic. So the Banbridge squad at the moment is quite exciting. It's we're definitely exciting for the next. I'm excited for the next couple of years. So yeah, it's very good. It's some positive play.
And at that level, I take it you don't have a lot of spare time. There's a lot of training during the week, and indeed a lot of travel.
Yeah, so especially with playing, if you just look at club, where it's an All-Ireland league, so you could be in Cork at the weekend, or you could be in Dublin. We're in Dublin the majority of the time for away games, as that's the heavy bulk of teams. But if you combine both club and country stuff together, we really have only Sunday off. Every day is either gym or training. So the way we work it, it's obviously it's too big for everyone to meet midweek, or Ireland's too big, so we split regionally. So we'll train regionally with Ireland, and we'll do two gym sessions and club sessions, and then we'll have Saturday matches with our club, and Sundays are really our rest day. So, or the odd Fridays our rest day, and we train Sunday. So it's full time, I suppose. These are the things you have to do for international sport, especially when you're trying to push on and into the middle of our Olympic cycle here, and World Cup qualification, I suppose, just around the corner, stuff we had to do for the last couple of months. But and the weather didn't help, so we've had to go away to a couple of hot weather training camps in Spain, and just time away from friends, family and work, I suppose. But these are the things you have to do, and maybe the unseen things, but they're valuable.
Now, the squad in Chile, it's a 20-player squad. I think there's 8 defenders there. And I suppose, like in so many sports, the strength of the squad is key, because there'll be people coming on and off. And particularly when you have a busy schedule with a number of matches within a week, you know, that strength and depth is absolutely vital.
Yeah, the 20-man squad, 18 will play every game, but the 20 will play throughout the whole tournament, so we'll be resting too. We're allowed to sort of sub in and out that way. We're excited about the strength of the squad now, because we're at that phase where a lot of players are in around 50 caps, 100 caps, 150 caps. We're an experienced squad as well, and we're young. So, it's exciting. We've got some, like, we've phenomenal players. Like, we've some world-class players in our and Sean Murray and Jamie Carr and players like that there that have won the AHL and are playing in hockey in the A-League and playing professional for the biggest Belgian teams and stuff like that. So we've got real talent and a real experience now, I suppose, as well, to go with that. And we're still all young. So, no, it's exciting. There's a lot of quality there, and hopefully all 20 of us will definitely be involved and everyone will contribute. So, yeah, it's good. Looking forward to it.
And I see one of the players, Jeremy Duncan, in attack, not far off winning his 150th international cap. I mean, that's quite an achievement, no matter what sport you're in.
Yeah, yeah. Players like that are invaluable with the experience that they bring. And we have players like that in every line. And it's class. You can always pick their brain, because they've been through so much. They've been to the Olympics, or they've been through World Cup qualifiers, or they've been to a World Cup. Some boys have been to the last World Cup. So yeah, you can pick their brain and learn from them, and they're happy enough to help you out, or put an arm around you, or kick you up the backside whenever you need to. So no, we've got a good mix of experience and quality as well. So.
And what about the playing surfaces out there? Are they the same as what you have here at home, or are they somewhat different?
No, everything within hockey is fairly universal. I suppose the challenge is the heat, the ball, the pitches need to be damp. So like they need to water them, and that's the challenge, where a pitch can be real sticky or slow out in these places. So they're a wee bit, it's technically the same. But when you've played on so many surfaces, you can tell the difference straight away, even by walking on it. So it's a slower pitch, it's a heavier pitch, it holds a bit more water with the hot, the heat and the sun. So just have to get used to that. You need a wee bit more pace about you, a bit more ball pace, just to really get round teams. It suits maybe a team of a that are happy to park the bus, whereas we like to sort of play with a bit of flow and counter-attack and just play with real pace and quality. And so that's the challenge, but it's a challenge for every team. So yeah, there's a wee bit of a difference, but we'll be fine. We're used to it now.
So finally, just to recap, your first game is on this Sunday. It's 3 o'clock Irish time. That's against Canada. Then you take on Korea, and then it's Poland, and hopefully you can get into the latter stages then of the competition. Luke, we appreciate you joining us, and we wish you all the very best.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
That is Rafo native Luke Witherow, who is in Santiago at the minute getting ready for those Hockey World Cup qualifiers. So we wish Luke and the rest of the squad the very best of luck. Now, taking a look at what's happening in local rugby this weekend from a Northwest perspective. In Ulster Championship 1, third place, Oma are away to Ballymoney. Ulster Championship 2 at the Dave Gallagher grounds, Letterkenny are taking on Lisburn. Letterkenny sitting 7th and Lisburn are 8th in that game. Alec McDonald will have live updates from that game for us. Elsewhere, City of Derry are away to Carrickfergus, and top of the table, Limavady are at home to Bottomside Monaghan. In Ulster Championship 3, top of the table, Strabane are away to second from bottom Newry, and it is Coleraine against second placed Virginia. In Provincial North, a big Donegal derby this weekend. Inishowen, who've played 3 and won 3 in that division, they are in action against Donegal Town. It's a big weekend in athletics. We're going to be going live over the weekend to Patsy McGonigal, who's going to have the latest from Abbottstown, where the National Senior Indoor Championships are taking place over Saturday and Sunday. And finally for tonight, the Mayo Stages Rally is on this weekend. It is the first round of the National Rally Championship over 8 stages on Sunday. And we'll have all the latest from that on Sunday Sport this weekend. Well, that is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of the show and want to catch up, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website at headingradio.com, or you can now find us over on the Radio Player app. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.